WPEN-HD2, Burlington, Philadelphia.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're in the Delaware Valley. Welcome to the Sanjay and Jim Show here on WWDB Talk 860. We've got a fantastic broadcast. I am ecstatic to have my co-host on the broadcast, Dr. Jim Brady. How are you, Doc?
Hey.
What's going on?
We're live. Yeah, we do have a great show.
We do have a great show. We're going to have an author calling in.
That's right.
What time is he calling in, and what is his name?
About 10 minutes. David Rispoli.
Awesome. And so we have two fantastic attorneys in the house. Paul Himmel, who is the head of the Workers' Compensation Department at Friedman and Lurie, and a fantastic attorney, Michael Minara, an associate with Saltz Mongoluzzi and Bendesky. And so we have a great show. Lots going on. I'm going to go around the horn a little bit. Paul Himmel, if you would, remind our listeners, you're no stranger to the broadcast, my friend, remind our listeners a little bit about yourself and the firm.
Thank you, Joe. A pleasure to be here on the show. I really appreciate it. As you know, I'm born and raised in Philly. We talked about going to the Marriott 50 years ago.
Oh, to skate.
Skating.
I started.
So born and raised here. Went to Villanova Law School. Came back to practice law, was fortunate enough to be hired by one of the top, if not the top, labor firms in the city of Philadelphia, which is now about 84 years old, and was trained to represent union members, for the most part, in work-related injuries. And I've been humbled and honored to be acknowledged as a super lawyer for, I believe, 8 years now. I'm a certified workers' compensation specialist and have a very close working relationship with a lot of the labor unions in Philadelphia. And it's been my honor and my pleasure, you know, to represent the working men and women, not just in labor unions, but the working men and women throughout the entire Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Well, we appreciate you being on the program. Always love to have you. And Michael Minara, if you would, a little bit about yourself and the firm that you hail from.
Of course. Good afternoon. Thank you for having me here today. As Paul said, I'm also from Pennsylvania, born and raised, but not Philadelphia area, the Berks County area.
Okay.
I ended up, I joined the military after I got out of the service. I attended Drexel Law School, and I graduated. Upon graduation, I ended up as a district attorney in Philadelphia. And I worked there for several years. It was a great experience. I was able to, you know, represent the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and the victims of crime in Philadelphia County, as well as some of the surrounding counties. And again, phenomenal experience. After that, I bounced around. I did some defense work for a large auto insurance company until I found what my, you know, calling was catastrophic personal injury. And I'm currently an associate at Saltz Mongoluzzi and Bendesky in Philadelphia, which is, obviously, I'm a little biased, but I would say a prominent catastrophic injury law firm, not only in Pennsylvania, but in the country, and certainly honored to be able to help out our clients when they're catastrophically injured or unfortunately as well killed. And we do all matters of personal injury law and a lot of construction accidents, but all matters as well.
So, quick question. When did you start at Saltz?
I've been there just over a year.
Okay, fantastic. And Dr. Jim, if you would, a little bit about yourself in the practice, but also we talked about at the beginning, there's some synergy with your military experience.
Yeah, it's great being here with another vet. What was your MOS?
Infantry.
Oh, wow. All right, sounds great. Anyway, Dr. James Brady, offices in Ben Salem, Port Richmond, and East Oak Lane.
And who do you?
Where's the rest of our gang?
Well, Marla Vittorello probably will stop. You know, she's and Dr. Sanjay
with a bad attitude.
Dr. Madnani's been here since noon drinking coffee in the basement. Okay,
we're trying to sober him up.
Right. Here's the thing. Well, you got to say that because otherwise, if you're not here, the show is about you. Okay, so I'm glad you guys showed up. Once you're booked, but and Dr. Minotti, he refuses to come in unless it's a little bit late and we're playing the trumpet, so he likes a little show. One of the things we talk about on this broadcast, you talk about workers' compensation and personal injury, lots of synergy, and Doc, you treat a lot of those clients. First of all, work injuries, when you talk about a work injury and it's workers' compensation, okay, a lot of people don't understand, with work comp, quote unquote, you're not allowed to sue your employer, okay? And workers' compensation, by the way, filing a claim is not suing your employer. You're filing a work comp claim, but there also could be a third party element, okay? Your employer is required to have workers' compensation insurance. So if you get injured on a job, whether it's your fault or somebody else's, you're filing that claim, but there is also potential for a third party element if it's due to the negligence of another company, why somebody got hurt. Paul, elaborate on that a little bit, because and then we'll get into Michael, if when it comes to a work injury and the fact that it's almost like a no fault type of statute, if you would.
Correct. So you brought up a great issue, Joe. And I appreciate it. So the legislature, in their infinite wisdom, wanted to insulate the employers from being sued by their injured workers. And as a result of that, they passed legislation indicating, as you stated, there will be no personal injury negligence claim against your employer for a work-related injury.
Right.
So if you are injured at work, your only recourse is to file an administrative law claim, a workers' compensation claim for your wage loss and your medical benefits that are due you as a result of your work-related injury. There is no pain and suffering component to that administrative workers' compensation claim. Now, as you indicated, there could be a third-party case. That is, if you're working on a construction site and are injured by a coworker in the course and scope of your employment, you cannot make a claim against your employer for your injuries as far as a negligence claim is concerned. You are limited for as far as just simply filing a workers' compensation claim. However, if there is another employer on the work site, a subcontractor, and as a result of the negligence of another employer or another subcontractor, you were injured, you will have your workers' compensation claim against your employer, and then you have a third party or a negligence claim against that other employer for the negligence or carelessness of the subcontractor.
Now, let me jump in right there. An example, I'm going to, and if you would, Paul and Michael. So I'm working on a job. I'm working with a crane, and we're picking up beams. By the way, welcome, Marla Vitarello. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you.
Okay, so I dug the hole. I fell in the hole. That's workers' compensation. But if another employer on the job, say it's a big construction site downtown, dug that hole and you fell in, that could be there. That is potentially a third party case because you have a situation where it's another subcontractor. So is that a good example, Michael?
Yes, and that's essentially where we come in our practice. Is obviously the workers' compensation practice focuses on against your employer. However, we come in as locating those third parties, those subcontractors, any other entity or individual who's responsible for causing the injuries for the plaintiff. And that's essentially where we come in, is finding those third parties can somewhat be a very difficult task, but we're able to do that through, of course, a very thorough investigation to find out who the responsible parties are to compensate the plaintiff for their pain and suffering.
Paul, jump on that, because they can the third party element. Yeah, I created a scenario which is very, it's an easy scenario, so okay, but there could be faulty products, there could be for example, somebody's working on some kind of a tool, and the tool was defective. Somebody who's not experienced may think, well, I just got hurt in work, I don't have a third party case. How often, by the way, is there a third party component?
Well, I think it depends. It's really industry driven, Joe. So if you have a CNA and a member of, let's say, 1199C, the hospital workers local, there are very few third-party cases because most of them are injured as a result of lifting, pushing, or pulling
right.
their patient population that they have to deal with.
Well, by the way, Marla is a nurse, is a registered nurse. That's how you got injured, correct?
Yeah, I got injured. This was back in the mid-90s. I was actually helping a patient, and she was falling out of bed at night. They tell you to be like a human mat. I don't know if they tell you to do that anymore or not, but be a human mat and grab the fall. And I herniated a disc in my neck. I went down. They said, go down to, I think it was like WorkNet or something. It was right in the hospital. Go down, let the doctor check you out. I mean, he sent me back up in 15 minutes. He's like, you're fine. I'm like, yeah, but I have like numbness and tingling. Like, I can't feel my fingertips. You know, I'm like, I'm actually like in pain. My neck is killing me. I'm all stiff. He's like, it'll probably wear off once the inflammation goes down. Go take some Advil and go back to the floor. And that's basically what I did. And years later, I mean, I still have problems. Like, because it wasn't treated back then. You know, I didn't get rehab. I didn't get PT. They just shoved me back on the floor and said, shut up and work. You know?
Wow.
I wish I knew what I knew now about it, you know, back then, but
I think now they recommend not stopping the fall, letting them just gently go down.
I mean, I'm sure now that people like me who
People have gotten hurt like
reported.
You.
Right, exactly.
Unfortunately.
Is that an example, Paul?
That's a perfect example. There would be the workers' compensation claim, but there would not be a negligence claim. But in other industries, such as if you're in the building trades, there's more likely to be a third party component to the claim because you have more than one employer on the work site. And so, or in industries where there's a lot of mechanisms, a lot of machinery,
scaffolds
you're always looking you're always looking for a product liability case. So it's really industry driven as to the third party claims and how common they are, and depends upon the work that's being done.
Wait, one more thing. You know, it's interesting that you said that because I had a friend who was hurt on a job site, and he was a contractor. And there's a lot of different moving parts of just for one job. You would think that it was just one construction company, but the people who were liable, like he got hurt, but the people who were liable were the people who actually dug the ditch, which was another third party construction company. And he got stuck in a ditch. He actually got like pulled by a truck and was, you know, fell into a ditch.
Oh.
But they said it was the wrong location of the ditch and all that. And, you know, it was just them digging a hole.
Well, here's an interesting, you say it's industry driven. And I want to ask the doc, you treat injured workers and injury victims. But when it's extremes of the injuries also injury driven, because you know Mara was talking about an incident where you're catching somebody, and we all know no matter what the situation is, my wife's got a scar right here from a fender bender when we were kids. Okay, yeah. I saw the kid we were at a light, he just took off. And if you would have drove by there, you would have heard a little, bang, but you wouldn't have thought it was a catastrophic. Next thing you know, no pain, but it was catastrophic. But I'm saying, Doc, like some of these injuries are, the difference between third party and say they're industry driven. Are the extremes of the injuries also, industry driven in regards to construction, similar injuries? Construction being a more extreme injury,
it could be all different. You know, we have patients literally exactly like Marla's injury, that they wind up with a herniated disc, nerve damage, also known as radiculopathy, and we'll have those same injuries with somebody that has a catastrophic injury.
That's interesting. So. I knew a lawyer, God rest his soul, by the way. I met him at a wedding, at my buddy's wedding. When we were kids, man, and this is well over 30 years, awesome dude. Next thing you know, he was throwing he threw a piece of paper, in a trash can. It missed the trash can. He went to pick it up, and he pulled his back out. And they were calling him Murphy's Law because it not only did he pull his back out, but it got worse and worse. So he was walking like this. It was a 30-year type of a situation. That's why I think it's so important. Why is that, Doc? That some, especially since he thought immediately that it wasn't a big deal. How come individuals? Because I do like the conversation of the seemingly not catastrophic injury, that turns into one? Like, in other words, you never really know. Why do sometimes, Doc, people feel like, okay, I'm not hurt that bad, but then it turns out, like my wife on the spot had a car accident at Frankfort and Princeton, okay, in the Northeast, you know, where it's fine now, but a couple of days later, and then it can you know, that's when they get the pain.
I see that a lot with auto accidents, especially where people get injured and they think they're okay. They're in shock. That's part of it. And then
the adrenaline.
And then a couple of days later, one day, usually it starts stiffness, and then it just accelerates from there. A lot of times with a disc injury, it starts slower, but it takes longer to go away. Somebody with a bulging disc, herniated protrusion.
So it leads me to, you know, a work injury. First of all, how often is there a catastrophic injury? Not catastrophic, but a third-party case during a work comp case that people don't really see? Like a less experienced attorney might look at something and not see, you know, how often is it there? And then what happens at that point? How soon should the third-party attorney get involved?
Well, I think, I don't know if there's an exact figure as far as percentages, but I think you need somebody to take a close look at whether or not there's any third-party case or potential third-party case, because the work-related injury is right in front of you. The person is injured at work. They're treating with the workers' compensation panel doctor, and then you have to have somebody who's experienced, an attorney, who can come up and take a closer look as to whether or not there'd be some other party responsible for the work-related injury other than the employer. So that's very, very important. I want to add one thing in, Joe, that the work-related immunity only applies to the injured worker if they are actually in the course and scope of their employment. So you, as an injured worker, can make a negligence claim and sue your employer for negligence if you are injured and it's as a result of your employer's negligence if you're not in the course and scope of your employment, such as if you're going into work, you're not on the clock yet, you slip and fall going into work, you would have a negligence claim against your employer as opposed to a workers' compensation case. Or yesterday, I had a woman come into my office. She sustained a burn. She was at lunch, on her lunch break in the cafeteria at work. So those are two instances where somebody may look at it and say that's a work-related injury. And in fact, it is not a work-related injury. It would be a negligence claim against your employer. So the immunity does not apply to injured workers unless they are actually in the course and scope of their employment or furthering their employer's interest.
Got it. And we have a call. We're going to bring our call in a minute. But Michael, what first things that you do when you get a call, you know, from a workers' compensation attorney, somebody gets injured, but and there's a third party element.
Of course. So one of the biggest things that workers' compensation attorneys are incredibly helpful when they do a very thorough. They obviously do a very thorough investigation. And they have a full file as well. So they're able to provide medical records as well as incident reports. That's a huge one. Video of the incident, photographs, any sort of physical evidence that we can see. Because kind of to piggyback a little bit, unfortunately, we do see it more often than we'd like, is where there are potential third-party claims that aren't discovered.
Yes.
And that's one of the things that we do very well, certainly at Salts Montelusi Bendeski, is we find that third-party entity who is responsible for causing that injury and that extra source of compensation for the plaintiff. So it is incredibly helpful to obviously have a very competent workers' compensation attorney who can also help us. And we work together all the time to locate that third-party entity through videos, reports, all the time. So again, like I said, it happens unfortunately more often than we'd like to see. But there are oftentimes, and sometimes there's not, but oftentimes there is a third party available.
Okay, okay. Paul Himmel, Mike Manera, would you mind if we opened up the phone lines if anybody in the public listening would have any questions, if they have a possible case or if they've been injured at their employment?
I would love that.
Sure.
Great.
888-329-3306, 860 AM. So we have two attorneys.
Outstanding attorneys. And so we have a caller on the line. Is this our
hello?
How can we help you?
David?
Is this David Rispoli?
Yes, yes, this is David Rispoli.
So welcome to the broadcast. We appreciate you being on. We're taking a little break from our injury conversation.
Very intense conversation about people being injured.
That's right.
I've enjoyed the conversation.
Well, we're looking forward to yours.
Now, David is a friend of mine.
Which is already a problem.
Which is an issue. Something's wrong with David.
That's a lie.
David. All right. Well, here's the reason we're calling in. We want to know what's wrong with Marla.
Yes, that's
Xmas America, Eagles cheerleader.
TJ, we're going to need 3 to 4 hours on the show.
Oh, my God. If you really want to know what's wrong with me, we definitely need to book out 3 hours.
Anyway, David wrote a book from roommates to soulmates. David, what is your area of expertise with counseling? Is it marriage?
It is absolutely marriage. And I would say that I'm more of a coach than a counselor. But, Jim, as you know, I'm a former United States Marine. I'm really on a mission.
Oh, wow.
On a mission to help 1 million people save their marriages. And I'm doing it.
That's wonderful. Thank you for your service.
Yeah, absolutely. What was your MOS, David?
I was a 5811. I was an MP.
Oh, boy.
Nobody's perfect. And,
Navy was Shore Patrol.
David, we have 2 Marines on this show right now as we're speaking, so this will be you're the third individual. Mike Menar, again, thank you for your service. Obviously, Dr. Jim Brady.
Thank you.
And, of course,
thank you.
David, we thank you for your service.
I want to know what the concept of this book is. Like, does that mean that anybody you room with or share a living space with, that they can be your soulmate?
Here we go. Go.
Wow. Can you imagine, right? No, that's not really the concept. The concept is, a lot of the couples that I work with, a lot of couples that you know, end up being married and living more like roommates than soulmates.
Absolutely.
I would say that people talk about all the different reasons for divorce. They talk about affairs. They talk about, money. They talk about children. And really, the root cause of all divorces is a disconnect between a couple. We know that when relationships start out, you're so deeply connected, you're doing all these things, and then all of a sudden you get disconnected because things happen, and then even small things become big things. And the concept behind the book is, regardless of where you're at in your relationship, you can reconnect in that soulmate kind of level.
Wow.
It's interesting. As I'm thinking about what you're talking about, believe me, that's an area. So I'm 40 years in, if you can believe it, right? I know Paul and Michael, you guys are married with children also. Here's an interesting question I'm going to actually ask the attorneys in regards to. After a work injury or somebody suffers.
I've seen it ruin marriages.
I'll ask David, how often, and you guys are as much legal personal counselors as you are legal counselors during these situations, but how often does that impact a marriage?
That's a great question, Joe. And unfortunately, you hit the nail on the head. That happens often. Especially when they're catastrophic injuries. This past weekend, I was away at a wedding, and I received a text message from one of my seriously injured clients, and he indicated to me that he thought he was going to take his own life. And I didn't know how to handle that. That he said his marriage is breaking apart, they've lost their home. And I literally told my wife, I have to go leave the wedding and I have to address this. I didn't know what my ethical obligation was as a lawyer. And I know what my obligation was as a human being to this client of mine, who's a very good man. And he was not broken. And he was involved in a serious work-related injury. And he's broken now, both physically and emotionally. And it has unbelievably impacted not just his marriage, but obviously his view of himself.
David, you want to jump in there?
I do. And first of all, I appreciate you sharing that story so much. And I think that unfortunately, these kind of issues happen more frequently than any of us really want to acknowledge. And the fact that your client was feeling so hopeless that he wants to take his life. I think that that's common, and I think it's sad, but I do think that there are positive solutions. And unfortunately, they're in the midst of the crisis, and they're walking through it, and they don't see light at the end of the tunnel. And one of I think my friend who's an attorney there, and my job as a marriage coach, is really to provide hope, to say, hey, your relationship is going to be different, and it's changed forever. But it doesn't have to. It doesn't have to be the end of your marriage. And don't all of us know that sometimes there's these crises, and couples end up stronger and healthier than they've ever been.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I would have to add to that too. Also, for workers' compensation in general, though, a lot of times these insurance companies, they'll argue whether or not the person's injury was related to work and et cetera. But there's all these other things that come, you know, that coexist with the original injury, and the psychiatric piece of it is huge. And, you know, a lot of times the insurance companies, they don't want to pay for a psychiatrist or even psychology for counseling or neuropsych if it was a head injury. You know, all these things are kind of dismissed, and they are so important for the morale and the recovery of the patient that, you know, I had a similar situation when I was working for a law firm. I had a client call me, and it was at 4:30 on a Friday afternoon, and they told me he told me he was going to kill himself this weekend. And, you know, not only as my role with the law firm, I felt ethically responsible, but also as an RN, I felt like, what am I going to do? So I had him 302'd, which is like a psychiatric emergency where they treat you just like a medical emergency, and they go and they retrieve him and put him in safety. And he never did commit suicide, but he told me, this is how I'm doing it. And, you know, it was happening on Saturday.
I'm going to ask Michael, sometimes these cases can last a couple years, especially if there's not a workers' compensation component to it, where they're not getting wage replacement. Okay, somebody gets injured catastrophically. Okay, how often do the relationships, including a marriage, okay, get interrupted, and not only interrupted but devastated? Because David, you mentioned, you know, often something happens. Well, I can't think of anything more impacting, you know, at least physically, than a catastrophic injury. Michael, how often is there a component there?
Unfortunately, all too often. And not when the defendant does something, it not only takes away from the individual who was hurt, it just devastates the family as well. So many times you'll see, not only in catastrophic injury cases, but death cases as well, where it's not just the spouse, but the parents and the siblings and the children are all affected by the defendant's actions, which essentially takes it away. And we see it all too often where the families, unfortunately, it's not just the individual who's affected by the injury.
Well, it's interesting being attorneys and having that also personal counsel. But Dr. Brady, yeah, first of all, this conversation, and David, this is so relevant. I can't believe there's such, but we, you know, being Marines on the show, okay? Okay, and you know, you talk about relationships and PTSD and a lot of those issues that people have, you know, obviously it impacts the relationship. Talk about that if you would, David, and the ability to navigate a relationship within some of those situations.
Well, I think it really comes back to, first of all, finding the capacity to find hope in the midst of that brokenness. And because when we lose hope, we do one of two things, and we've already talked about it in this segment. We either quit or we sabotage. And so getting in a situation where you can get your hope renewed, where you can begin to see a future that's better than your current situation. And that's where I always start with couples, that if I can convince them that their current reality is temporary or it's going to be permanent, but it can still be good, I know that I can help them save their relationship.
Okay. If anybody's listening, do you mind if I open the phone lines if anybody has any questions about marital problems? David? 888-329-3306. If you have any questions for David Rispoli, who has written a book called From Roommates to Soulmates. And if you have any legal questions, we have Paul Himmel and Mike Manera. David, how would somebody, are you open for new clients? Anybody that's having marital problems that's listening. And also, how do we go about getting your book?
Well, Glenn, and you could just type in my last name, Rispoli, R-I-S-P-O-L-I, or you could type in From Roommates to Soulmates in 30 Days or Less, guaranteed. That's the full title of the book is From Roommates to Soulmates in 30 Days or Less, guaranteed. The tagline of the book is The Keys to Creating a Phenomenal Marriage by Design. But to learn more about me and my services, you can go to themarriagecoach.com, themarriagecoach.com. And I've been doing this for well over two decades. Like I said, I am a former United States Marine. My mission is really to help people save their marriages. I believe that one of our crises as a nation is the destruction of the family. And
I wanted to ask you the chapters in the book. Can you kind of touch on them?
The first chapter deals with this whole concept of soulmates. A lot of times when we think of soulmates, we think of this person that can complete our sentences, this person that we're physically attracted, this person that we like the same things, do the same things. And that's not the nature of a soulmate. In fact, that very concept of soulmate leads people to be married and dissatisfied because they're like, wow, this person isn't completing me. This person isn't making me. And so it's so much deeper than that. I love the conversation we're having because a soulmate is the type of person that says, no matter what happens to you, I'm going to keep those promises that I made to you the day I married you. And I think of couples who I know where one person gets Alzheimer's and they don't even recognize their spouse any longer. And yet the love that exists from that spouse who's dealing with a spouse who's sick or broken, that is a soulmate connection.
Wow. And, so I guess you're saying a lot of people have unrealistic expectations going into marriage that it's always going to be roses and it's not.
Why are you looking at me?
That's another show.
Room right now. well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. And I love your concept.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Now it's going to go downhill.
You open up a can of worms.
I didn't do anything.
Okay? When you have somebody who you think is your prospective soulmate, and you marry that person, you make a commitment, and I am loyal. I come from a very Italian family. We are loyal, but unfortunately, I am going through a divorce. And there were things that happened in past 22 years that you look at somebody differently. You can't look at them the same like you did when you first met them. And I think that deteriorates it, no matter what you do.
All right, let David respond.
Go ahead, Dave.
Go ahead, Dave.
I'm curious what he has to say.
Yeah, so first of all, I want you to know that I hear what you're saying, and I hear that pain, and I understand why you're saying what you're saying, but here's where I would challenge you. You and I don't know you. I like you already.
She's I don't. Hold on. So, wait a second,
don't
David.
Everybody likes her.
She's a bad person.
Oh,
flat out. but
I want her daughter. That's her nickname here.
You are going to get a divorce. All right. Okay, and I understand that you're going to get a divorce.
I think Dave
But in short order, I think you will get involved in another relationship, and in short order, that person will also disappoint you.
Right.
So let's do this. We have to take a break, David. And where would the name of the book? Okay, and the we do have a caller, Lisa, on the line. Lisa, thanks for calling the show. How can we help you?
Is this a legal question or
a relationship?
No, it's for the author.
Okay.
I was married for, how many years? 16, 17 years. Mm-hmm. And our marriage started going downhill because two of our kids had disabilities. I was willing to work and get counseling. Do you think it would have helped the marriage if the partner would have been on board?
I have this conviction. First of all, I don't know your situation with your children, but it sounds like you both you and your spouse love your kids very much and have been on the front lines of providing care for them, and that has been a stressor. Okay, but that certainly was a stressor on the marriage.
And major stressor.
Here's my conviction. If one of you would have just jabbed a flag in the ground and said, hey, I'm going to continue to fight for this marriage. I'm going to have this resolve that no matter what, I'm going to continue to love. I'm going to continue to give. I'm going to continue to be on the front lines. I find that even spouses that are checked out or not willing to engage will eventually engage and lean back in. And I say that. I've experienced it.
Let's do the, mm-hmm. by the way, Lisa, first of all, we want to thank you for calling in. David's book is, can I borrow that, please?
Yeah.
From Roommates to Soulmates in 30 Days or Less Guaranteed. You can find it on Amazon, correct?
$15. I just looked it up. Awesome. In case you want to get it.
Right. That's fantastic.
We
appreciate your calling, Lisa. And David Rispoli, who an outstanding author and a great book. And obviously, we appreciate you taking the time to call him. And certainly, it's amazing how much synergy there is on the panel. And again, we want to thank you for your service and for what you're doing for people on a daily basis. David Rispoli, thank you so much.
Thank you both. Have a great rest of the day.
Absolutely. We're going to have more from the Sanjay and Jim Show in just a moment.
Vision loss is not something that you feel until it happens.
Most people lose their vision from diseases like macular degeneration and glaucoma, not at birth.
With macular degeneration, you lose your central vision.
You have a blind spot right in the center of your face, so I can't actually see your face.
So even that little circle in which I could see became a big blur.
I was 65 when I first was diagnosed with glaucoma.
There were no symptoms. I had no headaches.
3 million Americans have glaucoma, and half don't even know it.
11 million people in the United States have macular degeneration.
You lose mobility, independence, changes your entire life.
So many eye disorders can be treated if caught early.
My husband tells me that I have beautiful brown eyes, and I don't want to lose that.
Make a plan today to get your eyes checked.
Visit brightfocus.org to learn more.
Mom and Dad used to argue about everything, especially about Dad's drinking. It drove me crazy. It got so bad, I couldn't do my homework. I couldn't concentrate. I absolutely refused to let any of my friends come to our house for any reason. I would have been humiliated if anyone found out how much my dad drank and how loud my mom screamed at him. My family went from totally crazy to quiet, calm, and even peaceful. The only thing that happened is my mom started going to Al-Anon family groups. Her relationship with my dad really changed. I asked Mom if she would take me to her Al-Anon meetings or to Al-Ateen. I wanted to see if I could have a better relationship with my dad. I'm sure glad I did. If someone's drinking troubling you, you might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon or Al-Ateen family group from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON or go to alanon.org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Sanjay and Jim Show here on WWDB Talk 860. Shout out to TJ, our producer. We have attorney Paul Himmel in the house from Friedman Lurie and Mike Minara of Saltz Mongoloosi Bendesky. Lots of great conversation. Of course, we have Marla Vitarello on the program. How are you, Marla?
Hello, hello. Always so happy to be here. I do have a question, though, for Mike. I know you guys had said, I missed the beginning part when you had mentioned maybe about the military.
Yes.
Tell me what you did, because I find that really cool.
I was an infantry Marine back in 2005 to 2011.
Wow! So that's a long time.
That is, and certainly. Well, and it was. Do you say Kuwait or was it?
I was in Kuwait for a little bit. That was our jumping off point before we headed in country to Iraq.
Man,
so cool. How does that?
Do you do
impact?
Any disability for veterans?
Yeah,
do you do anything for veterans? I have a home for veterans now for disabled vets.
So I actually am involved in pro bono work. There's some through for veterans. I'm also involved in the Marine Corps Scholarship Foundation. So
that's
I do like, obviously, helping out the veteran community. I have a soft spot for them. So in any way that I can, I certainly would like to. Or I do and would also like to help more.
That's okay. Awesome.
So we do have a caller, Patty Taylor. Thank you so much for calling. How can we help you?
Hi, I just have a question. My mom passed away in December, and she cared for my handicapped sister when she passed away. The deed on the house is my mom's and my sister's name, and she has a nurse that's caring for her, a 24-hour nurse. My question is, how can I get power of attorney so I can make sure that they don't take advantage of my sister and give her papers to sign and sign off on the house and leave her in the street?
Well, Patty, let me just say this. First of all, our attorneys, although they're tops in their fields, that is not their area of legal.
That's okay. They might still know.
Yeah, any what type of attorney should Patty maybe go to find that information out?
Or is there anybody at your firm that handles anything like that?
Well, she should seek counsel from an estate planning attorney. They specialize in that field, and they identify all the issues involved in that type of scenario, unfortunately. It is a situation which is very unfortunate, but they need an attorney who is very familiar and deals and handles those type of issues on a daily or weekly basis.
Estate planning and maybe elder care, is that the same area?
Yeah, they usually, it's a different area, but usually the estate planning attorneys are either going to do the elderly care, or they'll have a relationship with an elderly care law firm that will assist them.
Yeah, and so what I would do would be, and tell me, guys, I would go to Google, you know, I mean, I would Google, you know, estate planning attorney, and... You know, certainly find somebody in that expertise, Patty.
Okay. Thank you for your help. I will Google the information. I appreciate you giving me that information because I didn't know which route to go.
Well, we appreciate your call, and good luck with your situation.
It's a tough one.
Thank you.
We have another caller. We have Tammy on the line. Tammy, how can we help you?
How you doing? I was calling because I have a legal question.
Sure.
This weekend, my girlfriend had stayed in the Marriott Hotel, and as she was getting off the elevator, she twisted her ankle and fell. So how do she go about that?
Mike, if you would.
Sure. So I assume that she was not working at the Marriott at the time or for the Marriott. Is that accurate?
No, she didn't work there.
Okay.
She was just staying there for the weekend.
Sure. The most important thing, obviously, is your friend's health. So the first thing that I would obviously recommend is that she consult a doctor for her injuries, right? That would be the most important thing that she should do, and certainly focus on her treatment and her health and her injury. The next step would be to contact a law firm and have a conversation with them regarding potentially who the at-fault party is, why did she fall. We always recommend, to the extent that is possible, to take pictures of the area, if you know of any witnesses, if she was with anybody, to document that. Any information and as much information as your friend can possibly gather at the time, as feasibly possible, of course, is always helpful. So as much information that your friend can gather to get that and to reach out to an attorney to provide them as much information as possible so they can review and evaluate the case. That obviously is going to be secondary to her treatment.
And also, by the way, for your friend's help, Paul Hamill and Mike Manera, the contingent fee agreement applies, which means there's no out-of-pocket costs for getting a consultation with an attorney to find out what her legal rights are. Should this injury sustain itself and continue. So there's certainly not a cost out of pocket to find out her legal, her legal situation and her legal rights. So Tammy, thanks so much for calling into the broadcast.
Okay. You are. Thank you so much.
It's our pleasure. Let's talk about that contingent fee agreement that, I think is the great equalizer and is the game changer for individuals that, you know, if you're injured on the job or it's a personal injury conversation or third party scenario like we're talking about right now. Paul, what is that? And Michael, if you'll elaborate after Paul.
Well, contingency fee agreement, or as attorneys refer to it as the CFA, is exactly is what it sounds like, contingent fee. So it's contingent upon the successful outcome of the case. So God forbid there's not a successful outcome of the case, which would mean a recovery. The injured worker would not have to pay any legal fees, or anyone injured in a negligence claim would not have to pay for any legal fees. So it's contingent upon a successful outcome, which means a recovery in the workers' comp or the negligence case.
And so they never have to come out of their pocket. It would come out of the settlement or the victory. But if that doesn't happen, it never comes out of their pocket.
That is correct. No costs are ever charged to any injured worker or anyone injured in a negligence case. And if they are charged, it is only upon a successful recovery in the case. But what you said, Joe, it is the ultimate equalizer, leveling the playing field. How could an individual file a claim against a large corporation who has very large law firms that are basically representing their interests? So the contingency fee agreement is exactly what you said. It levels the playing field and allows the individual to have a level playing field with a competent attorney to go up against the larger corporations.
Michael?
I couldn't agree more. Ultimately, at the end of the day, the legal field is not just for those who can afford it. It's for those, and personal injury laws, for those who are injured. And you're dealing many times with insurance carriers and corporations who have essentially unlimited budgets and unlimited income. And that can be certainly daunting to an individual who's hurt.
In your field, you may have to bring in experts that are charging tens of thousands of dollars. That never comes out of the injury victim doesn't get a bill for that.
Of course. Skill, unfortunately, does not come cheap or free. And when you want the experts who are at the top of their field to put together the case, that is where a law firm like Sauce Mongaloos and Medeski can come in who's not afraid to go after these corporations and insurance carriers.
I do have a question for you, though. So in that particular case, let's just say she tripped over her own foot and there was no liability on the hotel. Is that do you take cases like that, or do you have to find the liability on the premise? Or is it just something, because you can injure yourself somewhere, and does the place that you injure yourself in and they didn't do anything negligent still responsible for the care?
Or the very lawyer answer is it depends.
It depends, right? I mean, pieces together and kind of look at it.
Of course, there's any number of things can come into a liability determination. And there is in Pennsylvania, there's contributory negligence on the plaintiff. So you don't get to, if the plaintiff, for example, the injured party was doing something, there is a percentage of fault that the jury can attribute. And ultimately, it is up to the jury. They're the ultimate arbiter of the truth.
Right.
But there's so many different avenues that we can look into. Is just a simple trip. Well, were the steps, for example, in code? Did the elevator jerk or shift?
Right.
All things happen all the time, and unfortunately, it depends. It's case by case.
Boil it down, because obviously, I think those cases are more difficult to handle because it's what somebody subjectively says. I mean, I find the work injuries are just a little bit more clear cut because there's cameras,
no
there's documentation,
there's no
right.
Fault.
If they're doing something in their scope of practice at work, that's more of an obvious thing. But sometimes, and there could be the pre-existing injuries that are aggravated along the way, which also count as workers' compensation.
Well, and I want to Dr. Sanjay Bagnani's in the house. How you doing, there, boss?
I was worried about you.
Where's the trumpets at?
Did you say trumpet?
Yeah, he wants to. How are you, Doc?
I'm doing good, buddy. How are you?
Fantastic. I want to ask Dr. Jim Brady, Doc. You treat injury victims and injured workers. And if there's a contested claim or if it's a either type of case, you're not you don't have your hand out for somebody to come in and get your treatment.
No. We take the case and we treat the patient while it's in litigation and we wait for payment.
I mean, and sometimes that could take some time, right?
Oh, sometimes it could take years.
Absolutely. And Marla, if you would, a little bit about Synergy Pharmacy.
Yeah, sure. No, thank you. Synergy Pharmacy, we're a specialty pharmacy out in Bridgeport, Pennsylvania. We handle workers' compensation medications and personal injury cases as well. We do some auto in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, Delaware, and now Florida. No. So we're expanding our wings, synergyscripts.com.
And it's the same situation. You're not, you know, obviously the issue with a lot of work comp cases and personal injury, you know, a lot of these insurance companies, I get a kick out of this,
fight
guys.
The fight.
They require, you know, they're out there lobbying, making sure that the companies, you know, everybody needs insurance. But when you when the little guy goes to use the insurance, that's when there's a problem. Okay, I'm going to lobby that a construction company needs this amount of workers' compensation, and if they don't have it, the attorney general is going to jump in. However, if their employee actually has to use it, that's a totally different ballgame. Let me ask Dr. Sanjay Bhatnagar a little bit about yourself and the practice, Doc.
Hello, we are Ox Valley Pain Spine Center in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. We basically take care of all kind of pain. Mainly spine injections, and we do take work comp, motor vehicle accident, letter of protection from the attorney. When the patient comes in, we mostly treat them with acupuncture, massage, non-narcotic pain medicine, and spine injections.
Got it. And so you see a number of individuals that are in these situations, as does Dr. Brady. It's not unusual. It wouldn't be unusual. Not completely. If all five individuals at this table were working in tandem,
yes,
on this. By the way, how important is the communications? And I'll go right around the table. Okay, the therapist, the specialist, obviously the pharmacy, especially since CVS often beats the crap out of people and will not. Thank God we have providers and attorneys that see what somebody's going. That's so important because, you know, somebody listening, they can't afford attorneys that, at Saltz, Mongoise, and Medeski and Friedman, Lurie, if they have to come out of a pocket, but they don't have to. And it's the same for, when it comes to the medical network. But how important is the communication around the table? Paul and Mike, going back and forth, these cases could impact on a third-party case. And then how important is it that to also have a medical provider that's also in communication and working in tandem?
Well, I think the relationships are very important. That is, when an injured worker comes in to see me and their workers' compensation case is denied, they are referred by my office to very good physicians to treat them, who will accept them as patients, knowing their workers' compensation claim has been denied. So as far as an attorney having a relationship with qualified doctors, that is extremely important because obviously the injured worker needs the medical treatment in order to address the work-related injury. So it's very, very important that an attorney has a very close relationship with medical providers and is able to make that referral as well as any other referrals that are needed.
Mike, in regards to a third party's situation, the importance of communicating back and forth with the work comp attorney.
Oh, it's incredibly important. Workers' compensation attorneys are incredibly helpful for the third party case. So keeping an open line of communication between counsel and is paramount. It's incredibly important.
Having said that, compliance, Dr. Bhatnagar, talk about, we're talking about emotional scenarios. Talk about the importance of a patient being compliant and also staying in communication with their attorneys if there is an issue.
Well, I mean, we have to sometimes lead them by, hold their hand. They're so frustrated. They're in pain, loss of wages. They're confused. Sometimes they give up. And compliance, we can help them improve the compliance by taking our time, explaining to them. Sometimes I tell them, look, you got to call them.
Because that stuff can, without being compliant, that can impact the case, right? I mean, I can only imagine how many times somebody's emotional distress and they're like, I just can't grab myself. Dr. Brady, when you see somebody who's still injured, not complying, what is your, and you can see them fading away, what is your steps?
Oh, we just try to remotivate the patient because there is a depression that sets in when somebody's injured and they realize how seriously injured they are. Sometimes they give up hope. So we try to motivate them to continue their therapy. We also contact the attorney and let them know that they have not been compliant to get them, to help get them back in for treatment because it's the best thing for them, for their healing.
So we got about a minute. I want to go around the table, get everybody's contact information. Paul Himmel, if you would, at the firm.
It's Paul Himmel at Freeman & Lurie. We're at 1601 Market Street, Suite 1550. My direct dial is 215-931-2550. My cell phone is 215-817-0423.
Awesome. And Mike Manera?
Michael Manera, Saltz Mongoluzzi Bendeschi. We're at 1650 Market Street, the 52nd floor in Center City. It's in One Liberty Tower. My direct dial is, and as well cell phone, is 215-575-3860.
Fantastic. Dr. Sanjay Madnani?
Hi, Dr. Sanjay Madnani and Dr. Anju Madnani, Ox Valley Pain and Spine Center and Surgical Center in Langhorne. www.oxfordvalleypain.com, 215-741-7031, and my cell number is 215-630-3187.
Marla Vitarello with Synergy Pharmacy, synergyscripts.com, and I feel compelled now to give out my cell phone number.
Oh, boy.
609-743-1446.
Dr. Brady?
Dr. James Brady. I have offices in Bensalem, Port Richmond, East Oak Lane. We accept all insurances. 215-245-1000.
All right. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Sanjay and Jim Show. I want to thank Paul Himmel, Freeman Lurie, Mike Manar, Saltz Mongoluzzi Bendeschi, of course, Dr. Sanjay Madnani, Dr. Jim Brady, and Marta Vitarello. On behalf of TJ and the producer's room and everybody on the panel, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.